microphone and your headset. And usually it used to default to the headset connected to the mic, and now it defaults to the computer one. I don't know why.
Oh, you know, it's so funny because when I logged in just now, my microphone didn't default to the microphone that I always use, my fancy microphone. It defaulted to my computer's microphone, and I had to change it. So I don't know why the settings don't hold from the last time.
No, I don't know.
You think it'd save us? You think it'd save our settings?
Anyway. Well, you'd think we would know what we're doing by now, too.
Oh, I think we know what we're doing.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about that. Yeah. I don't know about that.
You don't know about that?
Hey, everyone. Welcome to the show. And in case you thought the title was confusing, I'm Josh.
And I'm Mike Bosch. And this is Total Nonsense with Josh and Bosch. We're two guys that work together,
share some common interests,
don't always agree on every topic,
but we love to talk about nonsense.
The goal of this show is to give you a 30-minute break from really whatever you're dealing with.
So sit back, listen, and enjoy.
How are things?
So, Mike, have you ever experienced enough either fear or anxiety or adrenaline that, like, it, you know, it doesn't, I don't know if adrenaline's the right word, because adrenaline, you know, sounds like you're ready to fight somebody or run away or something, but, you know, like there's this spike and you get a little bit sweaty, and then as soon as that feeling passes, you're starving. Because, like, your body has just used everything in it to make it through these 3 minutes of life. Have you ever had that happen, where you're hungry afterwards?
I think so. Yeah, I don't know if I have the same thing you're describing. I don't have diabetes, but sometimes I can tell when my blood sugar is low.
Oh, sure.
And so I can get that sense of weird hunger. So what brought this on in you? What did you experience, Josh?
Yeah, well, I'm experiencing it right now.
Oh.
I'm starving. I'm not the anxiety part. That has passed. I'm starving.
Oh.
Yeah. No, the anxiety's fine. That's got nothing to do with talking to you. I'm totally at ease talking to you. We're fine. We now have two permanent posts in our basement downstairs. And we're ready to put in one of the permanent beams.
What?
Yeah, yeah. And the posts that I got were like an eighth of an inch longer than the beam height right now. And so I've got the house, I think, as close as it's going to get to level. And I've got a... I think it's a 20-ton jack that I think I've maxed out in trying to raise our house. So I've got this jack underneath it. I've got the beam above me. I've got the temporary post. I've got the permanent post next to me, and I'm trying to swap it out, you know, like Raiders of the Lost Ark
and trying to
pull out the temporary and put in the permanent, like, without any of the evil gods noticing.
Yeah.
And I need an eighth of an inch more. I need just that much more. And as I'm pumping the jack and it's creaking and the house is making noise, and I feel like the room is shifting on me a little bit. Like, I think I saw the beam move, even though I know that's impossible. Like, it looked like water for a minute. And
oh,
then
my goodness.
I get the beam underneath it, and I the post underneath it, and I dropped it down. And we're all fine. It's
good. Wow. So the thought of removing the eighth inch off the post wasn't an option?
Well, so I had pre-measured, got them cut, and I welded end plates on.
Oh, these are metal beams.
These are steel posts.
These
are the real deal. And so they're all welded together in length. And here's where the problem lies. Right where I measured is right about where the temporary posts are.
Okay.
Our concrete floor is not exactly a mirror finish. It's not perfect. And so I'm guessing that eighth of an inch is probably in the concrete and maybe a little deviation in the wood beam where I put the new post, right? Because it was like razor thin, and you know it was not much. That's my guess.
Well, you know, I think an eighth of an inch, Josh, is pretty close because as I have learned, an eighth of an inch is exactly the width of a saw blade. And so, I mean, really, when you think about it, that's pretty close.
Within the margin of error, right?
Oh, for sure.
Unless your entire house is above your head and you're waiting for the beam to crack and everything to fall in on you.
But if you were to use that traditional bubble level, would the bubble still be between the two lines?
How long is the level, right? Because if you got a little itty bitty one and you move one side an eighth of an inch, probably not a big deal. But if you got like the 6 footer and you move an eighth of an inch, or maybe it's the reverse. It's probably the reverse, right? The long one wouldn't be a big deal, but maybe somebody can help us with this. Either way, I mean, the posts are in. I'm still here.
Yeah, I'd like to think that the little tube that holds the bubble with the lines is proportionate to the size of the level, so that the level is level regardless of the size of the level. But maybe you're right. I mean, that does make sense to some degree. The farther you get away from the center of a point, the bigger difference the slight angle makes. For sure. Like Pac-Man's mouth.
Right.
Pac-Man's mouth is really small and tight at the point of origin, but once he gets out to the teeth,
it can eat a whole ghost.
It's exactly right. As long as he's had that power up thing. I think it goes, how's it go? Wonka, 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 wonka. Is that the sound you heard when you were leveling your house?
Yeah, wonka. That's exactly what I heard as my life was flashing before my eyes. Yep, that was exactly it. So that's where I'm at. I'm a little hungry. I'm ready for dinner. The house is starting to take shape here, which is good because we have one of our sons coming back from college for the summer. He's coming back May 14th. Mm. And I have to have some version of a bedroom in place in the basement where there is not a bedroom currently.
Oh, wow. So you're under the gun.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So we've got to get these things in place and then start framing this baby up as quick as possible.
Wow. That's so funny because there for a second, I thought I could totally relate to your situation because Colby is coming home from college, but I think he's actually coming home tomorrow.
Oh.
And I've been using his bedroom as a storage room for all of some of our van stuff. And so I had to get all that stuff out last week. But at least he had 4 walls already. I didn't have to construct anything.
Yeah, so, I mean, ultimately, I have to construct at least 2 walls.
Yeah.
Like, the 2 walls that don't currently exist at all. Get a door on there someplace, and hopefully sheetrock so that it's not just, like, studs and floor joints.
What is said child studying in college?
Well, he was going for physics, and he said that made his head hurt. So he is now studying, I think, computer science.
Oh, so it's not like engineering or anything like that where you could just give him, like you could make this a summer project and just give him a pile of supplies and say, let's see if you can figure it out type of thing?
I think you're on to something. I think we need to get one of the kids into engineering just for that fact, right? I do any of this right, or are we going to pull some of this out and redo it?
Go down that way.
He is not in engineering, so that won't help.
Civil service, none of that stuff, huh? Okay.
Yeah.
No, I can't help you then. I can't help you. Right. Now, I can frame. I can frame some stuff. I can put some sheetrock down. Hey, if you need some cabinets built, yeah. I'm your guy. I am your guy right now. Yeah. I'm building cabinets from scratch, and I'm very happy with the progress. So you just call me up if you need any help.
You know, Jen would love some of those slick cabinets and things that pull out of walls, and she's in love with the idea of a Murphy bed somewhere in our house. And I think that aligns with a lot of the trick stuff you're putting into the van, right? It just folds up and tucks into a pocket, that kind
absolutely.
Of cabinet.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I can do all of that stuff. I can do all that stuff. You just let me know, and
okay.
we'll we'll team up on that deal and get that deal knocked out.
Sounds great. Speaking of which, how is the van project coming along?
The van project is coming along really well, Josh. I've got all but one of the wall boards up. So we went with a shiplap board. So they're like 6-inch planks that kind of overlap, give it some texture. When I was putting the wall boards up the other day, I was one board short. So that's why I didn't finish putting it up.
So is shiplap? It's not the like the tongue and groove one.
No, it's more of a, it overlaps, and so it's like a staggered cut, and so it create when it's assembled properly, it leaves a bit of a gap between the boards, even though they're touching on the backside. I assume to some degree they must have been used on the interior of ships at some point. But I don't know
that's
that as a historical fact. But I actually started.
We're going to go with that.
Yeah. But I started. So I've got three of the walls framed up for the shower.
Okay. Ooh.
The wet bath. The outer walls. That took a little bit of time. I'm going to be working on plumbing.
Three walls? Is there going to be a fourth wall?
There's not. There's a door. So the fourth wall is actually the door. It's a retractable door.
All right.
But I only have the outer part of the wall. So I have to do the inside of the wall so I can put the weatherproofing material on, right? So I have to do that still. But in order to do that, I have to put in the mixer valve and the part where the water comes out. And I have to run a couple of electrical boxes. So I'm doing all of that stuff this weekend. So I hope to get all that done. I'll put the remaining wall board up. I've got a couple of lights to put in. But I started building upper cabinets last week. So I built two upper cabinets. And I have to say, Josh, I am very proud of my handiwork.
Nice.
Yeah.
When you started this, did you think that you would get, I don't know how to word this, but I mean, did you envision this going like it's going, or because this is kind of complicated, right?
Well,
this is not, I do stuff around the house, but 2x4s are 2x4s, and you drive a 16 penny nail in and you call it good. What you're doing is kind of tricky.
Yeah, I have to say, in full transparency, I thought I'd be done by now.
Oh, all right. Well,
I really underestimated how much work it was going to be. That being said, I don't want to say I'm ahead of schedule because I thought I'd already be done. But initially, when Diana and I talked about it, And I know that I shared this before, but it was Labor Day weekend. It was something that we had been discussing over a period of 6 months. She said to me, I did the math. I'm going to retire in 5 years. So if you're going to build one of those camper vans, you better get started. So I technically had 5 years to build it. So in that regard, I'm well ahead of schedule, right?
Ahead of schedule. Great.
But when I bought the van, or when we bought the van and we kind of mapped it out, I really thought I would be done with it by the end of February. I did. I literally thought I would be done with it by then. I don't know what I was basing that on in any way, because I
that was
really
be my
had
follow-up
no idea.
Question. Yeah, how'd you come up with that?
I just grabbed a date out of the air. I had no idea how complicated this was. And it's like most things, Josh. people who know what they're doing make it look so easy that it's easy to get suckered into thinking something is easy, and then all of a sudden you're like, that's not how this works at all. And there's really, while there's a ton of content out there and people have taken the time to create YouTube videos on that, there's no real instructions on how to do this stuff. And there's a lot of stuff that I've honestly had to do a couple of times. And so, case in point, I have the, we'll call it the kitchen cabinet made. Made it from scratch. It includes the sink with a cabinet below, so a two-door cabinet, right? I made a pull-out pantry, and then three drawers, right? So it's 55 inches long, so it's a pretty big cabinet, right? Well, anyway, okay. I have on it now a temporary countertop made out of plywood. And a couple people have even asked me when I showed them picture, like, is that going to be the countertop? I'm like, no. I have a butcher block countertop that I bought, and it was $300. And I'm afraid to cut it because everything I have done up to this point, I've had to do multiple times. Uh-oh. And I don't want to have to buy a second $300 butcher block countertop, right? I'm just kind of holding off until I'm super competent, because this one time, you get one shot at this deal. And it's just, I'm nervous about it. And so everything else I've had to do multiple times, and this is just something I'm learning as I go.
The countertop, does it fit between a couple of things?
Well, the trickiest part...
Because if it was open on one side, you know, you got a little leeway on one side. But if you've got a certain gap to fill.
The trickiest part about it is the van has a farmhouse sink, and it's under mount. And so the opening that I cut for the sink has to be exact, or it's not going to... You know what I'm saying? Like, it's if it was a drop-in countertop or a sink, you could cut a rough hole, and then you could move the sink around to cover the thing or whatever.
Right, you got a flange on the sink.
Okay. No, this thing it's got to have rounded corners, and yeah, that's the trickiest part. And so my plan is, I'm going to cut the first plywood countertop I cut didn't come out the way I wanted it to. Big surprise. So I'm going to cut another one to see if I get closer to it, just to kind of learn as I go. And then ultimately, I'm going to have to bite the bullet, and I'm going to have to cut this countertop.
So what's the price of a sheet of plywood these days? I mean, how many of these sheets of plywood can you go through? Well, doing your test cuts before you've exceeded the value of just buying a second countertop. I'm just curious. No, that is
a great question. And so
it's not cheap.
No, so a sheet of cabinet grade 3/4 inch plywood 4x8 sheet is $80. Okay. I'm not using that for my practice templates. I'm using a half inch construction grade is about $30.
Oh,
but
so
the
you
nice
can go,
part
you
about
can cook
it is
through like 10 of those.
Well, because the countertop, because the countertop is only 22 inches wide, I can actually get two practice countertops out of one sheet. So it really only cost me $20 to practice. So all right. Really, when you break the economics down, yes, you're right.
You're still ahead of the game.
I can make a couple different runs at this for sure.
Good. Yeah. That's good to hear. All right. Mm-hmm. Well, it sounds like that project's coming along nicely. I like that.
Yeah.
What else is going on with you?
It's been a busy week. A lot of shenanigans at work. A couple projects went awry. Diana and I did go see the Air Jordan tennis shoe movie last weekend, and that is really good. I highly recommend it. For sure. So definitely go see that. I have been taking it easy on training. I'm injured again.
Injury.
Yeah, I know.
What now?
Hip flexor.
Hip flexor. Is this something that you need a special shoe for too?
No, don't need a shoe for it. But I'm working through an injury, but it's okay. So I'm still swimming and biking. I'm just not running right now. You know, I have a race coming up in like 11 or 12 weeks at this point. I need to go back and do the math. But it's okay. If a couple more weeks and I might have to change my expectations, but it's okay. Things are still good. I think I got the last, this might be exciting to you.
Oh, all right.
So you and I have talked about, I don't know if we talked about it on the podcast before, but I bought a road bike frame from a gentleman off of Facebook Marketplace maybe 2 years ago, maybe last year. I don't even know anymore, right?
It's been a minute.
And it's been a minute. And this was after you built up verified Jen's bike.
Thank you.
I went out and bought a similar bike, and I've been slowly accumulating parts. Typical Mike Bosch fashion, I thought I had all the parts that I needed. Turned out I was missing a lot of parts. Well, anyway, I think I acquired the last major part that I needed to mock it up. To be able to do final sand and paint, and then I can actually build this thing. Yes, I think I got everything together. I'm gonna try to mock it up this weekend, and I was gonna send you a picture of it.
Right on. Yeah. What part were you missing?
Seat tube, or not the seat tube, but yeah. Well, the seat post. I was missing the seat post.
Oh, that's an important one.
Yeah, it was for sure an important one. So I had to get a carbon fiber. So it's a carbon fiber frame. I had to get a carbon fiber seat post, and I had the wrong one, of course. I went through like three different seat clamps because I ordered the wrong one two different times. Handlebar stem. I had to order a second head tube because that was wrong as well, so I got that corrected.
Sounds like you've got enough parts to build another bike, as long as you can find the other bike to fit all your parts.
Well, the nice thing is, I was ordering a lot of the stuff off of Amazon, so I was returning them as I was getting the wrong stuff. A couple things I wasn't able to return, but most everything I was. But I've run into a situation where I'm definitely outside of my area of expertise, and so maybe you can help me. Have you ever made a bike wheel, Josh?
I've built a bike wheel. Yeah.
Okay, so this is where I'm at. So I for my race bike, have a set of race wheels from a company called Flo, FLO. Okay.
All right.
And they have these, a front and a back wheel that have a 60 millimeter carbon fairing on it. So from the brake surface towards the middle of the wheel, the center point, there's 60 millimeter carbon fairing, and it makes it more aerodynamic. Okay. And then I have a matching rear wheel, solid disc wheel, which is the most aerodynamic you can get, right?
Okay. All right.
Well, as it turned out, year or so ago, somebody was selling a front wheel, same company, in a 30 millimeter, right? Mm. So I bought it, but I didn't have a back one to match, right? Right. Well, earlier, maybe a couple months ago, somebody was selling a matching 30 millimeter wheel, just the ring, no spokes, no hub, just the hoop.
Okay.
Right? And I bought it. It was like $50. Okay. So I bought it.
Yeah, totally checks out.
Yep. So now I bought a hub for it. So I bought a rear wheel hub.
Yep.
But I got to figure out what size spokes I need. And I had no idea there were so many options. How do you know what size spokes to get?
That's a good question that I don't know the answer to.
I thought maybe you could help me there.
No. There's got to be some place you can look it up. You can put in which hub and which wheel you have.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I don't know. And if you took my advice, you'd get one of those clown bikes where the spokes are really short on one side and really long on the other, and it kind of...
Yeah, I think at this point, there's only one logical thing that I can do. I'm going to take it to the bike shop and see if they'll finish it for me, because I actually looked it up on YouTube, and they recommend that you get a couple of extra spokes and put them opposite each other, and you can make, well, I don't have extra spokes and all that stuff, right? Somebody who knows what they're doing can probably solve this in 5 minutes.
Yeah, right? The other thing is you need some specialty tools
to put them in. So even if I had the spokes, I couldn't install the spokes.
Well, and not only installing, but the rim has to be centered and true to the hub. Right. Yeah. So there's a couple of specialty tools to do that, and they're not exactly inexpensive.
Yeah.
So if you don't have those, it'd be really tough. Really tough.
Well, I thought maybe you had all that, and I was just going to mail you the parts that I had, and you would send me back a fully functional wheel. But that doesn't sound like that's how this story is going to end.
That is.
So
not,
I think the logical. But again, true Mike Bosch fashion, I passed on a matching set of these wheels a year ago for $200. I could have bought a matched pair ready to go for $200, and
bolt
I passed
on
it.
Yeah, no. Yeah. So, because you knew there was going to be an opportunity to buy this rim for $170 and a hub for $75. And all the spokes for $200, and then pay somebody to put it together, which sounded like way more fun.
Yeah, yeah. This deal's going to end up costing me a lot more money than it could have if I had just spent the $200 at the time. And the crazy part about it is, like, they don't all need to match, but the whole goal was to have matching wheels on both of my bikes to some degree, right? They match, the stickers match, the manufacturers match, and then the plan was I could interchange. I could determine, okay, well, maybe this time I want to ride my 30 mils on my race bike, or my 60 mils on my road bike, or my disc wheel here, and with this and that. And I would have all these, I would have this endless combination of things I could choose from, Josh. That was the goal.
You and I are so different. I have three bikes that don't even have matching wheels on the bike itself. Different wheels front to back.
That's funny. No, everything's got to match. I'm very product loyal.
Yeah, aren't you painting this bike to match your other bikes?
I am. I am. And so I'm very, very close. And I know you're going to cringe when I say this, but I had to drill a hole in my carbon frame. Yeah. Well, technically, I enlarged an existing hole in my carbon frame. There was already a hole there. I just had to make it a little bit bigger.
And you already did that?
Absolutely.
And how'd that go?
Piece of cake.
Great. Yeah, I mean, carbon fiber is easy to drill through.
Yeah.
Yeah, hopefully it's not as easy to crack.
Yeah. I think it's going to be okay.
It probably will.
It's not in a high stress area, all that stuff.
Okay, well.
But yeah, I've got the frame, the seat post, the seat, the crank, front and rear derailleurs, the headset, the threadless conversion, carbon stem, carbon bars, DI2 brake lever gear selectors. I just need a back wheel, and I'm good.
So, out of curiosity, what was the hole for? Any kind of plumbing, or I mean,
So the hole, no,
because we know that maybe a plumbing feature on your bike wouldn't be terrible for you.
No, it was to run the DI2 wire into the frame. Is what I needed that for.
Not a drain tube. Gotcha.
No, it was not a relief valve.
All right. Well, good. It sounds like you're full of projects, all kinds of stuff going on.
Yeah, and I feel guilty too, because on the way to work this morning, for some reason in my head, I popped up my old car, and I was like, you know, someday I'm going to get back on that.
Someday.
Yeah, someday. Hopefully, actually, hopefully in the fall is my goal. I really, at this point, believe that I will be done with the camper van by June 30th or 31st. How many days are in June, Josh?
30, I believe.
I'll be done by June 30th. Yep, June 30th. That's my new goal.
What are you basing that on? Because we know your previous goals you just plucked out of thin air.
I'm basing it on a little bit of experience now.
Oh.
But I have to say, and Diana and I had this conversation the other day, because the last few times I've worked on it, she's actually come out and she sat in the van and we've kind of talked. And I'm finally at the point where every time I work on it, you see actual real progress. Whereas before, for a long period of time, it was just a lot of necessary work, but you really didn't make a big visual impact. We're really moving forward. Like we're actually really close to painting cabinets. I did some interior painting of the wall that the shower was on because I had to. So I got all that painted. It just needs a little bit of touch up. But we're really close to painting cabinets, and it's just finished trim and buttoning things up at that point.
Wow. All right.
Yeah, we're going camping Memorial Day weekend.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Already booked our camping spot and the whole thing.
Where are you going? You going to be able to put another state sticker?
No. I wanted to so bad because Arkansas is not that far, and everybody, or all the Arkansas places were booked up. It wasn't enough. It was too soon, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what we did was we looked at 4th of July, which is on a Tuesday. But I'm pretty certain Monday is going to be a flex day. We'll just call it a flex day, right? And so I think I'll be working remotely from the campground in Arkansas on the 3rd of July.
You'll be flexing the 3rd of July all the way to Arkansas.
I will be. I mean, technically, this actually, Josh, if I think about it, this will be a perfect dry run. I think I absolutely am going to work remote from the campground on July 3rd.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take all my meetings there. Like, I'm going to work from the campground on July 3rd, and then we're going to drive home on 4th of July.
Maybe, for the listeners, you could record remotely from the van.
Well, but I'll be working.
But are you driving out there Monday? Are you going to be out there for
No,
weekend?
I'm working. I'll be working Monday. Well, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, maybe we could record Sunday.
I think that's Saturday, a great idea. We'll record Saturday or Sunday remotely.
Remotely.
And the listeners and I will help make sure that you're prepared for your flex day, right? We'll put together a checklist and just go down the checklist, make sure you're all set.
I think that's a fantastic idea, because if I ever plan or have hopes or aspirations of being able to work remotely from the van a week, 10 days at a time, I have to have a dry run.
This
is the perfect opportunity for that.
I think so.
I'm so glad we had this conversation.
Yeah, yeah. I can't wait. This is going to be great.
It is.
Yeah, we should probably run some commercials on this because it's going to be a big deal.
Yeah, but that will be in Arkansas for sure. Yeah, so I'll get to put another new state sticker.
That's great. That's great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it will be.
Do you have Oklahoma? Did you get?
I do already. Okay, so I have Texas and Oklahoma currently. Okay. Yeah. Right. Those are the only two. Arkansas is next, and then I have to decide: is it Louisiana or is it New Mexico? Louisiana's a little closer, but New Mexico, nothing against anybody that lives in Louisiana, but New Mexico is more, would be my preference. So we'll see how that goes.
Okay. All right. And is that it for the summer camping plans, or, cause we had talked, you had some grand adventures, in the hopper.
realistically, yeah, I think that's going to be it. Now, we'll probably look at doing something Labor Day, but maybe that'll be our opportunity to go to New Mexico.
All right.
Labor Day.
Okay.
Yeah, we're not going to get up to see Mount Rushmore or anything like that.
All right.
Maybe
well,
maybe Christmas time.
Ooh. Well, I you know if you are totally have the ability to be off grid, then you don't have to worry about getting stuck anywhere, right? Go ahead, just take that baby out and
yeah,
let it rip.
That's right. Off grid.
Yeah. Yeah. Does off grid include internet?
No.
Oh, so you couldn't flex if you're off grid.
I'm sorry. So, yes, off-grid, I still have internet. I apologize. I misunderstood the question.
Oh, so you're not off-grid. You're just not plugged into anything.
Yes. Oh. Yeah, I still have to have internet.
Right. Well, that's what I'm wondering, right? So you can be off-grid, but you choose to not be off-grid, off-grid? Just unplugged. Unplugged, yeah. Like MTV Unplugged. This is like...
Yeah.
Mike Bosch, MTV Unplugged.
Unplugged, yeah. No power, no water, no sewer. Self-contained. Okay. We're self-contained is what it is,
self-contained.
Josh.
Self-contained.
We're right. Self-contained. Yeah.
Well, I was going to get t-shirts made up. Mike Bosch Unplugged.
Unplugged. Yeah. Well, we can look at that too.
I think that has a nice ring to it.
It does.
We can probably sell some merch here. Come on.
Yeah.
Trying to sell maybe. Merch.
Maybe. Hey, so... I want to ask you a question, Josh. You know, this is our third episode of the second season.
Yeah.
And I don't know how things have been going for you, but I've been getting some feedback. I think that's some feedback.
Emails? Still no emails?
Actually, you know what? I hate to admit this, but I will. I actually deleted the email account from my phone. I haven't literally checked our email in 6 weeks.
Nice.
All right. I have not checked our email in 6 weeks. I totally forgot about that. Wow. Yeah.
I'm just scrolling through it right now. See if there's anything.
Because we got a lot of junk emails, and so I was like,
yeah,
because
junk
we were on
that you signed us up for.
I did not sign us up for, but we were on winter break. We were in between seasons, and so I didn't anticipate anybody was going to reach out to us anyway. And so I just deleted the account from my phone, and so I haven't checked it in a while. But
Turns out you're not missing anything.
Okay, good. I did get some text messages. Phone calls. People are glad that we're back.
Oh, good. Good.
Yep. They somewhat question our commitment level. So this is our third episode. So there you go.
I mean, maybe that's fair.
Maybe.
I mean, we're in between seasons.
You know what? Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think anybody questioned... any other show when it went on Christmas break. I mean, Yellowstone, that's a super popular show, right? Yeah. They went on season break and nobody's questioning their level of commitment.
Yeah, all the late night hosts take plenty of time off in the summer.
All the time.
Yeah.
I mean... But I'd say that's a bunch of nonsense, but I mean, that's kind of par for the course for our show.
Yeah, I mean, it is totally par for the course. It's in the title.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. For, okay. Yeah.
So you got good feedback. You got good feedback.
I did get good feedback. And we've actually had we don't talk about it a lot on the podcast, but you know, every time somebody listens to our show, we get a record of it. Just like on YouTube where people watch videos and you get views, we get downloads, right?
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. I leave most of that to the marketing team. I don't pay attention, but
and we've actually had a really good week this week.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. Our listenership is up.
Nice.
Yeah.
So what are we hovering? 16, 17?
Well, no, actually more than that, Josh.
Wow.
Yeah, but you know, I don't want to. I don't want to, you know, brag or anything, but Yeah, it's hey, it's doing
if
well.
If we're clearing 17, I'm feeling really good.
Yeah. Yeah, we're doing good.
All right.
Really good. Yeah, you should all check right. it out. Anyway, so I wanted to thank the audience. I wanted to thank the audience for listening to us and putting up with our nonsense. So
I would like to thank the audience and invite them to email us at totalnonsensewithjoshandbosch@gmail.com. And if you do, apparently I will be the only one to see it and reply to you, and I will happily do that. So if there's someone out there, again, email us at totalnonsensewithjoshandbosch@gmail.com, and I will bring it up to Mike on the next episode.
There you go.
Because he's not going to check between now and then.
No, I got too much to do.
Yeah, he's looking at the downloads, counting the cash.
Counting the cash. Yeah, I don't think so.
No? All right.
No.
Well, that band's not going to pay for itself. Come on, buddy.
No, it's not. No, it's not.
Remember when we had a sponsor?
That one time?
That one time.
That was pretty, that was pretty awesome.
And we got our jar of salsa.
I still have mine.
Do you? Oh, I gobbled mine up after they threatened to take it away at the TSA at the airport.
I think ours is still unopened because it was more valuable to me than, you know.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I get you. No, unless, I ate mine. It was delicious.
Unless Colby ate it. I don't remember. I have to look. But I was thinking about that too. You know, we have all those coffee cups too.
We do.
That we had made. So if you want one of those, send us an email. And for postage and handling, we might send you one.
Yeah, for sure. We'll ship those out.
Yeah.
Let us know. We'll get you one.
Absolutely. Yeah.
All right. Well, Mike, it sounds like we've got plenty of adventures going on either tomorrow or Sunday. I think I'm going to try and get the beam in the house.
Nice.
I have recruited some help. And for the listener's sake, my dad is going to help me by having 911 ready and dialed into his phone in case things go. I don't know who else is going to help me actually lift this beam in place, but that's my plan for the weekend.
Well, hold on. I thought you were going to go to your gravel race or something like that.
Oh, I do have a gravel ride on Sunday.
Oh, okay.
We'll see. It's 56 miles. It's going to be windy and cold and rainy. It's probably going to be terrible, but yes, I do have a ride on.
Yeah, I bailed out on mine.
Yeah?
Yeah, I was going to go tomorrow. I remember I was going to do it tomorrow. The weather here in North Texas is no bueno, so I made a decision not to do that.
Well, it's not, we don't have dangerous weather. We just have bad weather, so I might still do my ride.
Well, good for you.
Also, tomorrow is one of my daughter's birthdays.
Oh, so you do anything special?
Sunday night we're gonna have dinner, gonna have pizza. She's coming over, the whole family's coming over. So
cool.
Happy birthday to Bella.
Happy birthday, Bella.
There you go.
All right.
So that's my plan for the weekend.
Cool.
And I'll let you know how it goes. The next episode we can it will either be triumphant or recording from a hospital.
I'm confident it's going to be triumphant.
I hope so, because the other one's going to be real bad. So,
yeah. Send me some pictures.
Okay, I will.
All right, see ya.
See ya.